Good evening, my fellow depressives, and welcome to this week's Dollop of Naked Football. Tonight we welcome back Tan Fan and the publican's friend, Ray Slay.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Ray. And we also welcome back a guy who actually decided to answer his phone for once, and he is Tan Fan, and I see our presenter, Daniel Potter.
Good evening.
And no show, of course, would be complete without the wit and wisdom of our resident Phil Ham. Right, we'll discuss the game at Wolves, of course, and we'll look gloomingly at our chances of making the playoffs, as well as anything you guys out there wish to bring up. And we've just been, someone's just mentioned that the church have now been involved in our kickoff time in the Derby game. So if you want to talk about that, apparently he's very upset about a helicopter going overhead during Mass or something. So if you want to join in the debate about Derby kickoff time, then please get involved. The usual address, of course, studio at icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us on 07973 851 968. Raimondo, do you want to have a go at this one?
The Wolves game?
Yes, please, first.
Well, disappointing result. I will say one thing that I've not said all season. I think the referee had a very good game. I thought the referee and his linesman worked very well together for a change. And I had to get off my chest, as it's just been bugging me for the last 3 or 4 days, that the referee had a good game. My excitement at the last minute equaliser was tempered when I heard the result from Watford, when Palace won 2-0. I was really excited at 1-1, I thought that was just what we needed, but then Palace result came through and I was miserable, depressed, and feeling very suicidal again.
So I went to a pub.
So I went to a pub and had a few sherbet dabs, yes, indeed.
No, I thought the same thing about referee. I thought Scott Matheson, I think was his name, so...
Good cakes.
We hadn't had him. I think the last time we referees we played Wolves as well, when we lost 1-0 down here, Andy Kerr scored. But yeah, I think we had a very good game. And we didn't have a goal disallowed the last minute, which is a bit of a rarity lately. It was a decent enough performance, I think, wasn't it? It was a decent enough away performance. I had the feeling it was going to end 0-0, didn't you, for the Barca?
Would you blame Bruce for their goal?
Well, he missed it, so, yes.
He missed it, so they scored the goal. I see on your wonderful website that Paul Annalise were getting a bit of stick lately for the chances he's missed at Colchester and Cardiff. Well, I feel a bit sorry for Alan. He runs his socks off. He's led the line all year on his own, virtually. And Bruce makes one mistake that costs us, really, could be 3 points. And he gets off scot-free. And it was really a basic defensive header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As far as I saw, to head it out and clear your lines.
I think watching it on television, the only thing I could say was that perhaps his sight was obscured by, I think, John Walters in front of him, which might have caused him to miss it. But, he needed to head it away, and he didn't. And to be honest, I think that was fairly similar to the goal at Watford earlier in the season, which was, again, came from him missing a header. To be honest, I think the centre-half is something we do need, as we've all been going on about for months and months and months and months and months. And at the other end, again, we created chances and didn't score until the last minute with Tommy Miller's free kick. So I thought both sides were much the same, really. Both made errors at the back, both gave the opposition chances, and both sides missed the chances that the opposition had given them, really. And it looked for ages it was going to be 0-0 until Ebanks, Blake, made up for what was one of the worst misses I've ever seen in the first half.
Terrible.
And then we got our goal right at the end. I don't know what you...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it was an awful miss by Ebanks, Blake.
It was already in.
It was already in. You should have thought that would have been an easy conversion. But as the game wore on, like both of you have said, I mean, I felt the game was going to end up 0-0. Neither team would have obviously wanted to take that, but... it was probably going to end up being a mistake, an error, which would have led to that goal. And you felt that Wolves would then tighten it up a bit and take it from there with 17 minutes left on the clock. However, with the amount of chances Town carved up, I think they've reduced something from the game. But I think on reflection, I don't think it does either of us any good.
But a draw probably right result on the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't overly impressed with Wolves, were you?
No, but they beat Cardiff 3-0 and we couldn't beat them, so that's the difference, isn't it? They won 3-0 last night, we couldn't beat them down here. That could be the difference, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So, are you confident that we're going to make the playoff then?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, there are 3 or 4 results that could go our way. Let's just look at the scenarios. Bristol City are at Sheffield United, who are on fire at the moment.
Yeah.
They'd have got rid of Brian Robson 2 or 3 weeks earlier. They could well be in the playoffs. So, I can see Bristol losing there. Watford, they're as nervous as hell at the moment. They're playing Scunthorpe, who can play football. Nothing to worry about. It wouldn't surprise me if Scunthorpe went and would at Watford.
Mm.
Hull will need to beat Palace if they're after that second spot, because they can still get the second automatic spot. So they will go hell for, and Palace can't get that lucky again, can they? Because Watford were a bit unlucky, I hate to say it, but a bit unlucky on Saturday. So three or four results will still go our way, providing we win at Preston.
Mm.
Now our lot have got to turn up and do the job, and that's what worries me.
Just so many permutations between now and the next 2 weeks. All we can do is sit on our thumbs and wait. But if you look at it, I think just Palace just have that advantage, having gone to Watford, having taken those 3 points. You know, when Watford didn't convert their chances early in the game, just feel that they won't let that slip, and that's my worry.
I wouldn't like to play Burnley on the last game of the season, needed to win. We've seen Burnley; they're a hard old team to beat. If we're on level points, which we could be, if they lose 2-0 and we win 2-0, we're on level points, level goal difference. We've scored more goals, I think, so we'd be above them on that basis.
Okay.
If they needed to beat Burnley on the last day, and if we had something on the game last day, I think we would beat Hull. I just hope and pray there is something on the game for our team.
I mean, interesting things. I mean, Watford, as you say, I think they've won one in the last 12, which is extraordinary poor run. But their last two games are Scunthorpe and Blackpool. Scunthorpe already down, so you know the traditional thing is they've got nothing to play for, pressure's off, blah 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 blah. Blackpool, I think they've got a good result at the weekend, but they've had no form at all in recent weeks. So, but they're safe, I think. So I don't know. I wouldn't be confident with Watford getting nothing over the next couple of weeks. The interesting thing is that Preston have got two centre halves playing at the weekend who haven't played yet for them. The two players that they signed in January, terrible with names, I can never remember. Trotman is one, and the other lad that they got from Aberdeen, I can't remember. I think between the two of them, since January, they've played. One of them came on as a sub on Saturday for Sean St. Ledger, who's injured, and Billy Jones, who's injured as well. So that gives us a bit of a shout, really.
I mean, if I'm Jim McChilton looking at that, I'd say, well, let's. Obviously, there's no point in getting a draw. That is ridiculous. Let's not sit back and do these fancy Ponzi formations, 4-2-2 wing backs. I would go 4-2-4 and have two battering rams through the middle. Bear in mind the two centres haven't played together. Liam Walters through the middle. Perhaps play Kanago wide, Haynes wide. Just get at them. Go amongst them. There's no point in sitting back and billy-fallying around. And if we lost, if we lose one in the last minute and all the results go our way, if only we'd won, which has happened many times in my long career, we've got to go at them and just go mad.
Yeah, but I think what we'll do is probably play much the same team as we have done the last couple of games.
Yeah,
and then
get the same result, which won't be enough.
Well, and I think probably go more aggressive in the last half an hour if we're not already ahead. But I'd be reasonably confident that they're going to Preston and getting a win. I know we're not the best side on the road by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not a particularly brilliant team, and if they've got one or two, I think they've got five defenders who are fit. And so, you know, you hope they were going to go there. And
the thing is that Preston are pretty much safe, like say with Blackpool, pretty much safe. They're pretty much playing for nothing. In a division that is as crazy as this has been, I think that's extremely rare that a team is finding itself not playing for too much. I think, I do agree, I think we do have to use those flanks and we do have to try and be aggressive, but I think history dictates that when it's not been in town's hands, usually the other teams don't tend to do it much of a favour.
Well, the famous result.
That time history did us a favour.
Mark Steen, many years ago.
Oh, yes.
That was the one time it wasn't in our hands, we got out of jail. So
yes, 1994.
Bless him. And we got out of jail there, but I just think if these boys argue, they've not played together, they're a bit nervous, if we can get two or three up early doors, let's not sit back and parry thrust, we'll score one, let's get at them, get two goals on the board, then we're dictating the game. And then Palace will get nervous at their end. If they know we're 2-0 up, they will get nervous, there's no doubt about it. We've got to dictate matters from the off, don't sit and filly-fally around. Two up after 20 minutes, Palace will get nervous. Watford will get nervous. They'll all get nervous.
Who are the Bristol City players weekend?
Sheffield United away.
Sheffield United and
that's not an easy game. And their last game is Preston. So don't kick them too hard. Because their last game is Preston.
I mean, people are forgetting that we can still catch Bristol City, aren't they?
We can still catch Bristol, very much so.
Oh, yes.
And they'll be nervous last game of the season. They need 3 points. They'll be nervous.
But we know what we've got to do, which is to win both our games.
And then, simple as that.
And then hope and pray that somebody, a couple of teams here and there, do us a favour.
Wolves aren't a good side. I mean, catch Wolves, they're not a good side. Coventry, bit of form. Coleman's got a move in. 1-5-1 away last week. They won't want to lose to Wolves in that derby game.
No.
I mean, 71 points in normal practice hasn't quite been enough. Mm. It's been actually fallen short. But with the fact is, like you say, for so many sort of teams taking each other out of the equation or in the equation, 71 points might just do it. And I'll say, just win both those games, and then it's up to the rest of the team for what they do.
Mm. Anything on the old wires?
Yeah, I've got a couple. This is from Pabs and Lee. A question for Phil. Can he now book his holiday for the end of May? So this is pretty much what we've just been talking about.
I thought a few weeks ago that we could all quite happily book our holidays. And then, well, after the Cardiff game, I thought that was it. The game was up. But then results went for us on the Saturday and we beat Norwich. And it all looked on again until last Saturday. I don't know. God knows what can happen in this division. It's probably the last 5 minutes against Hull, and you'd probably be safe knowing what's going
on. Yeah, I suggest everyone out there book your holiday, and then we'll get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but if you don't, we won't. That's
you can probably sell your holiday on eBay after.
Yeah,
to no supporters.
Rio Ferdinand from Manchester is. This is a game to Phil. Is De Vos leaving? Because I don't want to push him out.
Well, I mean, Rio obviously rang me the other day about the issue. He's very keen. De Vos has been offered a contract, hasn't he? It's difficult to say. I think he had kind of planned to go back. He's got himself a contract with, I can't remember what it's called, CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or whatever, to cover the football in the summer. I think beyond now, I would think that he could get himself out of that if he wanted to stay here. I think players try and keep their careers going as long as possible, don't they? And I would guess that having been offered a contract, he'll probably at the end of the day decide that he's going to stick around for another year.
Yeah, right, another one. Adrian Barnes from Ipswich. Do you think that the fact that Owen Garvin has not agreed his new contract, is that significant?
If I was his agent, I'd be telling him not to.
Has he got a year to go? Or
he's got another year, right. If I was his agent, I'd be telling him not to commit to anything until he knows what division town we're in at the end of this season, because the amount of money that he could presumably ask for from a Premiership club would be different than if it's a Championship club. And also, of course, to see what other interest comes in if Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea decide that they want to come in for him, then he will almost certainly go. If I don't know, Manchester City, Spurs, someone like that, he'd probably consider it, I would say. If it was Wigan or someone like that, then you'd perhaps think, well, you know, give it another year or so and then decide where we are. It's a difficult decision for players at his sort of age, I think, because, like when, say, Kieran went to Newcastle, you've got an idea that he was probably going to go straight into the first team there for the majority of the time, but if a player comes from a Championship club and goes to a Premiership club now, who's sort of 20-ish and plays in central midfield, they're probably going to spend most of their time on the bench, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, that even Adrian, but I hope you're well. It's a tricky one, that one. I think I agree with you, the age will, there's no need to rush into anything.
Mm.
And it could be all over on Saturday. If we don't win a press, it's all over. Mm. We know we're not. So even something like that could be negotiating for Garvin's new contract. It could go on for another week, it could go on for another 3 weeks. We just don't know. But there's no need to rush, is there? Owen's a lovely lad, I think he's a fantastic footballer, probably the most gifted player I think we've got at the club for passing, and it'd be a hell of a shame to lose him.
But the only thing is, if he does say I'm not going to sign the contract, we would have to sell him this summer.
Well, to get money, because he'd have a contract next year.
I mean, he would be out of contract next summer, although we'd get some compensation for him being attracted, but we wouldn't get anything like the value that we'd get from this summer.
I think we're at least $3 million for him. I think at least $3 million, at the very least, bottom line, very least. He's got 10 years ahead of him, that's £300,000 a year, which is nothing whoever gets him.
You're a garden.
I'll say $3 million. I'm not quite sure on that. I would say more $2.5 million.
Right.
It'd be fine for me.
Yes, we have a proper business. We have a proper business from running the ship now.
We do.
Yeah, he will get three. Yes. We haven't got to accept the first offer that comes in. Mm. We've got a proper man running the ship. So
that does change perhaps the thinking. From certainly, you know, in previous years, we would have, someone's got a year on their contract, they won't sign another deal, there's some value there, an offer comes in, we'd have to sell him. Now, it could be looked upon, the situation could be looked at as Garvan, regardless of whether his contract's up in the summer of 2009, using him during that final year of his contract is worth more to the club than any fee we're going to get anyway. Do you see what I mean? And risk letting him leave on a free, or, well, it won't be free, but you know, for a relatively small fee at the end of that period, because he would be useful in trying to get us up in the meantime. It's not a case of the club being broke as it has been, and desperate for cash as it has been.
No, I mean, we've got more astute businessmen who won't accept the first offer that comes in, that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
They'll not accept the offer, oh, like we used to in the past, yeah, that's it, sorry, we'll then go for that. We're a bit more tough, I think, in the boardroom, which is good news, and it's excellent news. But you also think of the attitude of the player. If he really gets a good offer, he doesn't want to play, he wants to go, he's thinking all along, like, I could have been at Manchester United this year, I could have been at Tottenham this year. It is not playing well, and it affects. Yeah, you know, we don't want that sort of player hanging around.
Oh.
Go or don't go. If you stay with commitment and play with 110% commitment. Otherwise, you're best out of the club.
I think it's not just that. I think it's what is his agent actually saying to him at this moment in time? What kind of ideas is he coming forward and saying? Hold out until we know for sure. Mm. We know what points total will take us into the playoffs, and then hopefully off to Wembley and beyond. Or is it just that he's just perhaps looking at ballpark figures, and maybe the boardroom need to discuss it at on their own terms as well. So maybe there's a bit of like two different camps here with two different kind of perspectives. And like you say, with 1 year left, you know, let's just wait and see. I mean, 2 weeks, you know, we'll all know, won't we? Maybe even 1 week.
Mm. Anything else on there,
Graham? No, nothing. But you can move on to the now the Pope was brought up, our disastrous kick-off time for the derby. Do you want to talk about
Pope?
That?
Yeah,
that was the Pope, wasn't it?
It was. I think the Reverend Clifford Reed, I heard on Radio 5 last night, I think, was saying that he was complaining at early kick-offs in East Anglian derbies at Portland Road because the helicopters overhead disturbed his flock. His flock being those.
The milk went sour. Yeah, the milk went sour when they saw the milk.
Yeah, it was. But it was disturbing the, and not just his church, but various other churches around the town centre, which, you know, presumably would be a problem for other derbies. Were all other derbies to be played at such a ridiculous hour? I think it's become increasingly, fans become increasingly annoyed at the derbies being switched to 12 noon when they're seeing other derbies played all over the country. I think there was one the other day. I can't think which one it was though. Is it? It was played sort of a normal 3 o'clock in the afternoon kickoff, or even the I think the Celtic and Rangers.
Celtic Rangers kick off at 5:30 sometimes, don't they? Yeah. I don't think it was noon by that time.
Yeah. Why our derby should be noon kickoffs when, you know, it's popular with, not popular with fans. It's not popular with managers and players. It's not popular with now the church. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's the police is the major.
Don't get the Lord going against you, Philip. Don't get the Lord against you, because you'll suffer.
The Lord or law? No. But
use the law every time. Don't fight the Lord.
Don't you think it's ridiculous, right?
Of course it is. I've watched football for four. I'm used to 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. That's what I like.
Well, I was just going to ask you, gentlemen, when the last Ipswich Norwich derby match actually kicked off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Ooh, that's a tricky old one.
1894.
Before Sky, before.
No, it's not that long ago.
Big Sky B.
1998, when we won 5-0, that was at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, I think.
Yes.
And since then, there were certainly evening kickoffs. And I think that they were moved to Sundays with an early start because there was that game. In the evening, when Norwich fans threw a bin through the back of the cobbled stand, you know, the glass bit at the back of the cobbled stand, and it apparently nearly hit someone below. And since then, I think that was the incident that kind of caused the sort of draconian response to every derby being a noon kickoff or around noon. I think they've moved it to 1:30 for Sky coverage.
They've only done that in Norwich, though. I had this out with the Sky.
I think they had 12:30 here.
They had 11:30 here.
Oh, yeah.
He says he won't move it anywhere further than 12 o'clock.
This is the
But you could do it at Norwich, apparently. They had one at 1:30 there, and the pubs were open. I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
It's certainly something that needs to be sort of looked at in the future, because it's just daft, isn't it, really? I mean, the police organising the times of derbies is very much the case of the tail wagging the dog, really, isn't it? I mean, the police are there to provide support and support in the sense of as a service to the public and to the football clubs, rather than kind of causing the derby to kind of lack the passion that it has in recent years. And certainly there have been derbies that have lacked passion. Certainly not the same passion that there would have been on a 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon or an evening.
Well, I thought the derby last week was very good, actually.
Yeah, this time.
Passionate derby I've seen for quite a while, actually. And I was quite surprised that people had woken up and come out of their pubs. It was passionate. It was a good game, and we won well. But the police get a big part of our poll tax. They get a massive part of our poll tax. If they can't police one game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, council tax, whatever you want to call it, they're admitting their own failures, basically.
Yeah, right, so we want derbies changed, we'll settle that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Colchester Ipswich, well, you can rule that a derby, there's no history really
the reason the police can't move the Ipswich Colchester game because there's no history of violence between the two clubs.
Because there's no history of the two clubs playing.
In order, we haven't played since the 50s until last year, haven't we?
That's right.
But in order to forcibly move a kick-off time, the police have to have evidence of previous trouble between the clubs, which is not the case with Ipswich and Colchester. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think that's a derby anyway.
I think they were more civilised in 1954, whatever.
I don't know. More than rockers.
Yeah. Anyway, on a serious note here, a guy called Shane from Falkirk. I had a strange experience at the weekend. I had a dream I was standing towards the end of a big field with white posts to the side of me and some big gloves on. What can it all mean?
Well, I think
he
played a game, didn't he?
You think his young Shane actually got a game for once? And then there's another one from Pabs and Lee, which actually links nicely. Do you think Shane Supple will be our first choice again next season?
Yeah. It's a very tricky question. I mean, he'll certainly come back, and I would guess
that he won't want to be number two, will he? No way he'll come back to be number two.
Do you think Jim would see him as number one?
Well, he obviously doesn't at the moment, because he gets Bywater in and Colgan ahead of him.
I think he was hoping he'd have quite a few games before
and
then he'd
be able
to judge better. But
it's a shocking time.
Maybe Jim secretly doesn't want to hear a say, or there is no number one keeper. They've both got a chance of being in there and in the mix. One, you know, could easily play the other. I think he's always tried to keep that happy. And if he's sending out the signals of, that you could move into that position, then I think that keeps everybody happy and everybody at bay. Remember that situation occurring a few years ago with Richard Wright and Matteo Sereni, when there was no actual number one keeper.
Well, no, you mean with Andy Marshall. I think it was two reserve goalkeepers there at that time, rather than pushing for number one. I don't see. Do you think Bywater will be here next year?
No way.
Not a fan.
I don't think so.
No. If we're saying no, then I mean, Supple will come back presumably to Vi in the way that you say, which was really the idea at the beginning of the season with Neil Alexander coming in and with Supple. There's been talk of Alan Manus coming in from Linfield.
Well, I saw him play because I was on the wonderful Satanta Irish Sports the other week, and St Patrick's played Linfield, so I thought I'd had a chance of watching
Satanta Alan Manus.
He didn't look too bad, he didn't make any glaring errors in front of the 3.5 dogs and parrots that were watching, but it depends who's in charge and what league we're in. I think there'll be lots of changes in the summer, more so than perhaps we even envisage sitting in this room now. And when we talk again back in July or August, we can have an awful lot to chew on.
Go on then, do some predictions of what changes there could be, what these big changes could be.
Make it quick.
Could it be boardroom level? Could it be managerial level? Depends what league we're in, whether we get to the playoffs, and what our Lord and Master thinks. Because he does run the show. Ultimately, not Mr. Sheepshanks, not Mr. Bowden, it's our Lord and Master, the Invisible Man.
I think that it could be a lot of comings and goings in the transfer window. I think that, you know, if they wanted to make any big moves, they would have done so in January. But I don't think that is the time in which you do it. I think it's more towards the summer.
Well, the biggest spending club in January.
Yeah, biggest spending.
The Championship, £3 million is a lot of dollop in January. That was big moves to me.
Quite happily would take that and then use it as capital for...
No, but I think there's certainly going to be a lot of transfers. A lot of players will come in the summer, regardless of what division we're in. But whether there will be managerial changes, I think having just offered and given, you know, Jim and John just signed a new contract, I would be surprised, because I don't think it kind of... It doesn't seem like sort of joined up football club ownership to do. Do you see Galway United, who... were training over here in a few months ago, in their pre-season they sacked their manager after 4 games. Now, it's that kind of ludicrous, ownership that we hoped that Town would avoid. And I think sacking Jim McGilton after signing a new contract in January, which I think it was, would not be kind of a good sign of a stable club for the future.
Okay, right. A quickie from our mate Phil in Great Blakenham. In 1998, the 5-0 win was the last 3 o'clock kickoff.
Okay, there you go. That wasn't bad, was it?
And there was no trouble, was there, from what I remember?
Yeah. It was a really nice day, that was.
Exceptional day, actually. Quickly, you've got about 30 seconds. Preston, you've got to say they're going to win, haven't you, really? Otherwise, it's pointless going on.
Yeah, he needs to be 8-0, don't
you? Will Cucci come back and...
He may do, I believe.
If they play the right team and go for it, I'll go for 3-0.
Okay.
If they don't, curtains.
I think a 2-1 narrow away win for Town. Yeah, just about.
As you say, you can't say anything else but a win, can you? It's sacrilegious to say anything else, I think. And 2-0. 2-0 would be a nice, comfortable 2-0, though, where we're sort of, you know, 15 minutes left, we're 2-0 and looking comfortable and pushing for a third. Danny Hayes will get both of them. Preston have a player sent off in the...
Preston have gone off the ball just a tiny bit, because they're a bit frightening for the last few months, weren't they?
Leave them on the board at Bristol City next week to them.
Yes.
Get Julian.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, right, time's up. So, sorry everyone, but poor old Abel's trying to squeeze his way in and can't get in. And he's on next, everyone, so if you wish to listen to the wonderful Ernest and Abel show.
Sorry, Phil. Yes,
we'll be back on Monday, by the way, me and Phil. We're not exactly sure what format it's going to take. We haven't even got a name for it. So
I call it Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah, we can call it that, or you can just come in with your own ideas.
Look, we're thinking like it's going to be the breakfast show from 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I know, revolutionary time for a breakfast show, till 10 o'clock. And it's a sort of football, Ipswich sports, general...
Music, everything.
Show.
So,
we'll put some details on the website in the next couple of days.
Okay. And on that bombshell, thanks, Daniel. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, of course, to Phil. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.